That is the band Angels and Airwaves with the song Rebel Girl from their new album Life Forms. That voice on lead vocals is Tom DeLonge. If we were trying to describe Tom to you, and believe me, we've been working on it over the past couple of days, the best word is probably multifaceted. Before forming Angels and Airwaves in 2005, he was in Blink 182, a band that went on to become massively popular, incredibly influential on the next generation of musicians. He's written books and films and produced TV shows. He founded an organization called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. Now, that group studies UFOs, aerospace, science, it has an entertainment wing. And you're going to hear Tom DeLonge talk about all that and also just some stuff that you're probably not expecting. Certainly I wasn't expecting. I should also say a heads up, this conversation touches on suicide and gun violence. Here's my chat with Tom DeLonge.
How are you?
I'm good. And you know what? I just want to say those are quality things you said about me. I feel important. I feel accomplished. I'm like, this is great. I can use intros like that everywhere I go.
You know what? I'm very cheap. You can afford me. You know, you can bring me along.
It's like, you're like my hype man, the guy that follows me. He's busy. He does music and movies.
I'm in some ways, some people have called me the Flavor Flav of public radio. So I'm glad I'm there. Congrats.
Well, people just think I am Flavor Flav.
Right. I can see it. Congrats on the record.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah.
How is it feeling having it out?
It's bitching. It's weird. Like, I think most people in bands, like, all they do is music, right? So they record their record and then they're like salivating over every little detail of when it comes out and what people think. I have so many things going on in my life that I've really learned. And I've also learned with Angels and Airwaves, like, it's kind of like we've been under the radar for a long period of time. So I've kind of learned to not like get involved, you know, like obsessing over like the release day and people like what they think. I do care and I do read and stuff, but like as soon as I was done with the album, I was like, it's time to move on and focus on, you know, getting the movie out and all the different stuff I got going on. So I guess it's a long way of saying like I'm too scared to look at how it's doing. That's probably the more true. I'm too scared. But you kind of got to let it go. It's like letting your kid go to college. I've done what I can do. Like, don't get put in jail. Don't go kill someone, you know?
Okay, so it's no less meaningful to you than it was, like, when you first started out in music. Like, what I'm saying there is the busyness doesn't take away from, like, how important the record is to you. It just means you can't be as obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's everything I do, because I have such little time, it's super, super important to me. Like, I'm not doing it to be famous or money. It's an art thing for me. So I got to challenge myself and I'm trying to be the best kind of artist I can. But when you get done with it, like you just got to say, I did the best I can do. Whatever happens, happens. You can't really control the universe, if you know what I'm saying. I think people that try to control outcomes on anything they care about, you're going to end up in a really, really bad space. You're going to be like angry or pissed or like codependent on something, you know. And it's just, I think that's not the way things are supposed to work with consciousness, in my opinion.
I feel like I read an interview with you where you said that you might not ever make a record again.
Yeah, God, I thought that too. Like, because basically, like, when I left Blink and I started my company To the Stars, and then I got involved with the people from the US government, and then we were doing all these things, I was pretty resigned to like, I'm not playing music professionally. I'll just put out an EP or a song here or there and I'll just do it casually. That's what we were doing. Then I went through like a pretty shitty divorce that was really hard on the family and the kids. It was really emotional, obviously. And I remember just going, you know what? I got to go back and play music. I need to figure out who I am, like on a visceral DNA kind of level. And since I can't really go skateboarding, which is what I wish I could have done, you know, go back and play shows. I did that and it was epic. It was just like, oh my God, this is who I am. I need to have this back in my life. So I went and just worked really hard on this album for like a 3-year time period. And I think I put out the best record of my life, but I don't know if other people think that, you know, I feel that because I know the challenge that went into it, but I was for a while, like I'm not doing this anymore, but now I'm kind of doing it. So
I want to play you something off the record. Take a listen to this.
In a f***ing nightmare, there's 100,000 victims. If we can't protect them safely, then they die from their complexion. Oh, first go, start up the show. Get up and in, cause we're ready to go. Oh, no, what can you say? What can we play with our guns today? Oh, lie, tear down tonight.
That's Angels and Airwaves with No More Guns off their latest album, Lifeforms. Tom DeLonge is my guest. So it's funny that you come back to this record. You don't think you're going to make music ever again, and you come back to this record, and you say it's one of the, you know, things you're most proud of, one of the best records you've ever put out. It's a record that talks about guns, like on that song. It talks about race. It talks about cycles of abuse. That's not stuff I've heard you sing a lot about before. Was that a conscious change on this record?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions about that. It's so true. Like, normally, like we kind of, you know, in a band, especially when a band gets big, like Blink, like when you get big, you really don't try to change the recipe too much. You know, you have a restaurant everyone's coming to, and you're not going to say, hey, let's make it Italian if we were Mexican food, you know? So I'm kind of used to a little bit more safer lanes. But over the past couple of years, with all the craziness that was happening in the States and, you know, having Satan as president and stuff, I'm just going, there's racism everywhere. There's like this normalization of lying and people being, you know, persecuted for the color of their skin or being shot because gun laws are crazy. And just so I don't know. I felt like if I didn't say something, I would really regret it. I feel like we I don't know, on stuff that important, I want to be able to say I did my little part, you know? And honestly, rock and roll needs to be authentic. It needs to be genuine. It needs to supply a point of view that's coming with a bit of angst, you know. Let pop music just be like, you know, fluffy and pretty and everyone dances great. But rock and roll can change a generation. So can stand for a generation. So I just want to be a part of that.
You know, yeah, that's funny because I think it's like it's a misnomer to say that Blink didn't talk about serious things, because if you look beyond the singles, actually, even if you look at the singles, if you look at like Adam's song, I'm too depressed to go on. You'll be sorry when I'm gone. That I think because the songs were so joyful and fun and kind of punk and angry at growing up, that song really stood out because it was so serious. How did you find writing songs like this? Did you find it a different kind of challenge?
No, it's cool. It was actually way more, it was easier. It's how I think, it's how I talk. It's the opinions that I have about the world. And it's just me being more authentic rather than saying, oh, you know what, maybe someone doesn't want to hear my opinion on that. So I'll just sing about love again, you know? But honestly, I'm just like, no, this is me. This is who I am. And Blink did have a lot of serious songs. The reason Blink got big was because it had all this rebellion and all this fun, but the songs were really about growing up, you know, going through the breakup of a family, letting your first love leave you and go away to college. Or like you said, Adam's song was about teenage suicide. I mean, one of the kids in Columbine, involved in the Columbine shooting in the United States here, was, you know, he committed suicide to that song on repeat, you know, and we were like, Jesus Christ, music goes far and really affects people. But for now, like, just, I guess my age and whatever, like, yeah, just like yourself, you know, we're a lot more than one little piece of us. There's, you know, I have plenty of really dumb, immature jokes I say 24 hours a day or 23 hours a day. But for the other hour, you know, I got a few other things on my mind that are about the world around us. So it's not hard for me. I just haven't done it, maybe because I was in a different frame of mind with this other stuff, or maybe because the world wasn't so oppressive at that period of time. I'm not totally sure. It just felt right.
Well, let's listen to another song off the record. I want to talk more about that. Take a listen to this. That is Angels and Airwaves with Restless Souls off their latest album, Lifeforms. When we feel like the world's caving in, we will never give in is an interesting line.
Yeah, you know, that song. So that song is almost like if God was to write a letter to us, whoever God is, Sea of Energy, or someone in a white robe, you know, which I highly doubt. But just putting it out there, he would write us saying, I don't even recognize you guys anymore. You know, everyone's got something to complain about. Everyone thinks that everything's so bad, everyone's acting out with negative intentions or kind of pulling from a negative frequency of thought. But the reality is when things get really, really tough and really difficult, that's a lesson. The whole thing is a lesson. And that song in particular is like, it's really me trying to let people understand that, you know, everything is happening at one moment, past, present, and future. This is physics. And you are an antenna, and all you're doing is receiving a signal. That's your soul. It's what we call the soul. And you're here to experience, and you're going to experience anything you think of. And the more negative you think, then you'll wander through that infinite possibility that's happening at one moment. And you'll wander into dark places in your life. Or if you lead with happiness, intention is full of love, you know, you'll lead into a more creative, loving, that you get to experience anything. But people don't know that. So they find themselves like in these really bad situations and feel like the world's crumbling around them, but they can get out of it.
But people are also born in oppressive families and governments and, you know, in situations which preclude them from a lot of the things that I would take for granted, you know?
Yeah, they are. But what you're not understanding is it doesn't mean that it's determined. You know, like time is parallel. It's not linear. So that means, you know, you have the ability to navigate laterally. So even if you're born into a really bad situation, you can make decisions to change that. And it's kind of like it's like a maze. You know, you put yourself in a maze, you can choose all these different directions to go. And if you choose wisely, you will find the way out, you know?
What I find interesting about that path is that I know a lot of people who have gotten closer to trying to find answers to things. You know, why are we here? What is consciousness? I find that they end up becoming quite jaded and quite cynical. And this is just my own thing. I think that's kept me from going near it. Like, I feel like, oh, you know what? I feel if I go down that path, I'm just getting closer to the truth, and it's going to bum me out. You know, I'll get nihilistic. Yeah. Do you know what I mean by that? But I find it interesting that you became hopeful through this.
Oh my God. Yeah. So hopeful. So when you get into UFOs and when you get as close to the subject as I've gotten, and you know, my company's full of people from the CIA and the DOD and that have worked and managed these programs. And, you know, their take on it, it's so wildly different. There's like these kind of unnerving, scarier parts to it, but there's also these hopeful parts. My point is like, you know, we are literally learning things in, you know, double blind clinical studies with energy healing and physics laboratory experiments and our study of time and dimension and frequency. And having an understanding of how UFOs are getting here, where they're coming from, what they're doing, who they are, and all that stuff, we're going, oh my God, this is all consciousness, all of this. And none of us know it.
How does that change your day when you're like ordering a muffin or when you're spending time with your kids? Like, how does information like this impact your day to day?
Love, 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 love. And when I say love, it's not like rainbows and hearts. Love is another word for unified mind, unified consciousness. So we are all antenna getting a signal from one radio station. Sometimes it's HD and sometimes it's like old AM staticky radio, depending on what life you're living, how many drugs you take and how pissed you are. But if you, every single second of the day, when you buy that muffin, if you just stop for a second and try to make that person smile and try to like do it with a good intention, like every interaction you have, think about being selfless. And what happens in that is you're literally putting out an electromagnetic energy from you that literally interacts with all matter around you. So what's awesome is once people understand the physics of this, that it's like super real, the same way we know that water will boil at a certain temperature, you know, we're going to apply this and we're going to have like a game on like what humans are capable of.
If you're just joining us, I'm Tom Power. You're listening to Q. Tom DeLonge is my guest. You might know him from bands like Blink 182 and Angels and Airwaves. His latest album with Angels and Airwaves is called Lifeforms, and it's out now. When you started going down this path with UFOs, I want to talk about a couple of things here. One is that, you know, the headline I got was Tom DeLonge leaves Blink 182 and is obsessed with UFOs. I want to be as open as I can with you. And that means telling you that like I am interested in everything you're telling me. I'm willing to be challenged on my beliefs. So in return, I also want to be honest with you that when that happened, I think I was a bit judgmental of you. I think a lot of people were judgmental of you.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there was a lot of media coverage of like, has he gone off his rocker? What was that like for you? Were you aware of that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was aware of it completely. Yeah, I didn't care. I mean, I was in briefings that these people will never be in. You know? So
yeah.
I knew what I was getting into. I knew the stakes involved. And I knew that I had an opportunity to do something that was like, it's going to change the world, you know? So I signed up for that. I signed up knowing that when I start this, I'm going to get all this shit from people and then they're going to get slapped in the face with reality. Then they're going to go, oh my God, you've been vindicated. And then I'm going to say, it's not about me. There's more coming, you know? And so, I'm here like not trying to like act like it's about me, you know, it's not, I should
be clear about the vindication. So like, so you talk about this stuff around UFOs publicly, people kind of go, what? Huh? And then the U.S. government comes out, verifies your research, some videos that you've released that actually show unidentified aerial phenomena. And the headlines all of the same switch to Tom DeLonge was right. That's the, so just to be clear, that's the vindication that you're talking about here.
Yeah. But it's like at the same time, I get that. So basically what I did was I took an opportunity and worked my way into the government through a couple different channels, got brought into a group of some very, very important people in one of the branches of the military that deal with this stuff. Then I come out in supporting kind of that group that really wants this stuff to start coming out, but didn't really know how, because it's so classified. I happen to know a lot about it, a lot more than I should know. And so when I came out and started talking about it, there were other places in the government that were very unnerved that I knew all this stuff. But over time, I was able to really kind of say, look, I'm not Ed Snowden. You know, this is kind of what I think can happen if we do this appropriately and whatever. And I knew all along that like this was going to be something hard for people to discuss. And people were like, oh, Tom's videos are right, you know. And I'm like, it's not about my videos. You know, there's a lot more coming. So now that we got all that stuff off the ground and happening, I'm really focused on the communication part. So I have so many feature films and television series that are coming for this to teach people a little bit more about it.
Why is that the way to do it? Like, I find that interesting, that To the Stars has an entertainment wing. You mentioned books and films and TV. Why is that the way to do? Why is art the way to tell the story?
Art has always been the way to tell stories, you know, like around a campfire thousands of years ago, petroglyphs, or now movies. The Bible was passed down forever until someone like wrote it down. You know, I mean, these stories that date back, I mean, the, you know, Noah's Ark and the Garden of Eden and all that, you know, the fallen angels, all that stuff was written in Sumerian tablets 4,000 years before Christ. I mean, 4,000 years before the Bible is even written. And so what I was after was like, if we take advantage of the way art is right now, you can do a feature film, you know, or something where people all come together, sit in a dark room and they watch it, and you can hit them emotionally. You can hit them with epic storytelling, and you can kind of control the message in a way to where they get caught up over a long period of time. It's kind of like we all know about Jackie Robinson, the baseball player, and the racism he dealt with. But then, you know, you go see the movie where they made a few years ago, and after 2 hours, you kind of have a much greater understanding of what went on. And now you're like, whoa, did you watch that film? I didn't know he went through that. Like, you don't know the details. So a movie can help people kind of get caught up to speed. Then people have an understanding and want to take a deeper dive.
Tom, why am I... Again, like I sort of try to be as open-minded as I possibly can. I try to live my life in an uncynical way. I try to be as vulnerable as I can and try to be open to different paths. And I'm just paying attention to my body while you're talking about some of these things. And
yeah.
I am feeling, I'll be honest with you, I'm feeling a little of like, what? Or like, seriously?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Am I feeling fear? Am I feeling...
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah, so... It's in my opinion, and I have a pretty educated opinion, is that people have a construct of what everything is, and they go through life thinking they know everything there is to know about living. You know, it's like I go to work and I'm in traffic, and I go to the mall on the weekend, and I go to a sports game every once in a while. I have my kid, I fight with my wife, and then like I retire and whatever. But what will happen is we're going to learn that life is not that. There are like these unnerving aspects to why UFOs are here, what they are, what they're doing, or whatever. But there's all this incredible cool shit that comes along with that.
We've been talking about Tom DeLonge's new record. We've been talking about his research into UFOs with his company To The Stars. But come on, while I had him, I had to talk about Blink-182. If you're not familiar with Blink-182, I'll catch you up. More than 50 million records sold. The New York Times called them the most influential punk band of the 1990s. They inspired bands like Fall Out Boy, Paramore, Sum 41, so many more. And through goofy jokes and catchy pop hooks, they made a lot of kids feel less alone. So yeah, I had to talk to Tom DeLonge about Blink-182, and I started it off by playing this song. That is Blink-182 and First Date. So I think I just want to know what you feel when you listen to that.
I sound like I'm like four, but it brings me back to this other like part of me where I'm like, oh yeah, I was that guy too. yeah, I mean, it's what a wild time in my life, and to remember the enormity of all that and to think that I'm still playing music. I never really thought I was that good of a musician, but then I've looked at trillion musicians that were bigger than me that aren't even doing music anymore, or lost the appetite, or lost the kind of the skill to do it in the way music. I don't even know. I wouldn't say skill, but you know, you kind of have to be aware of what's happening musically to still kind of find a way to fit in. I can't believe I'm still finding a way to fit in, like after all these years. I never really thought that highly of myself, to be honest.
I read a quote that was something like, even when it blew up and you guys were selling like 40, 50,000 records a week, You were still like, what? I don't think we're that good.
No, yeah, we weren't like, no, Travis was good. But, you know, it's like we were like kids in a garage, you know, like we could play our instruments very well. But, you know, being big in a band has a lot to do with a lot of things, not just like skill. You know, you get a little bit of luck, the right timing and all this different stuff. So, but yeah, I'm still here. Still making it work.
Do you still talk to the other fellas?
I do all the time. Yeah.
Mark Hoppus from your band Blink-182. I know he's been sick. He was diagnosed with cancer back in June. How's he doing?
He's doing really well. The chemo worked. It got rid of like everything. He's emotional. He's not leaping for joy. He's like, okay, what's the next step? And we'll know here probably over the next week how things are looking, but it's looking like it's going to be really good. And everyone has got such big open hearts for him. I'm really cautiously optimistic. I think he's going to do really good. I think it's going to be gone from his body. That's what I'm hoping.
You know, listening to the record, I feel like on a couple of songs, I think even maybe Losing My Mind and a couple of others on this record, I heard like, maybe this is just me as a listener, as opposed to you as a creator, but I heard like, oh, there's Blink Tom in those songs. Like, I felt like I heard that back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I there is Blink songs or Blink kind of vibe in there. And it's like, it's me kind of feeling more comfortable in my skin with who I am for the first time, you know, like going all over the place. Now I think people are starting to understand me. So it's letting me kind of be a better version of the complete version of myself, I guess.
So say that again, because I think my last question was going to be, how do you see yourself differently after making this record? There's a greater acceptance of who you are, or you understand who you are a little bit more?
A greater acceptance that I'm allowed to have all the dumb jokes and be serious at the same time. Two bands were very much two different sides of me, and now I'm finally like the total version of me, I guess.
Why is that hard to accept?
Well, when I started Angels, I really knew that I couldn't repeat what Blink was. So I didn't want to do anything that looked like I was just trying to do that again. You know, so I wanted to show a different side of myself. Then I realized after many years that I can't run from who I am. They all have to exist in this. I have to be me in totality. And on this album, that's why you see those pieces coming back.
Tom, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much, man. It was an awesome interview, and I'm really thankful you took the time to talk to me.